presents and lots of grass. But the last time I played Father Christmas, I stood outside his department store. A gang of kids came over and bust me and knocked my reindeer to the floor. He said, Father Christmas, give us some money. Don't mess around with those silly toys.
Emerson Show on AM 970 Solid State Radio. I'm saying for me, no one else has to agree with this, but I'm saying for me, pound for pound, I'll take this over any Christmas song ever recorded.
No, Thanks for Christmas, XTC. Number one, we have it somewhere.
I have that. I think I brought it with me today, actually.
That is the best Christmas song ever.
All right, Tim Riley.
We disagree on
that's,
some things.
That's your story. I have that. Here's what I brought today. I brought, I have the Kinks. I do think I have the extra. That's the Thanks for Christmas.
I hear us. Even for charity.
I just whacked my head into the microphone.
You'll be all right.
I'm sorry for murdering that Andy Partridge song. Just that's what everybody wants is to hear our bad Andy Partridge impression. And I have Queen. Thank God for Christmas. I think I brought.
No,
that
I
too.
Like.
Man, the Kinks are really an underrated band. They never really get the respect they deserve. I'm saying for me, the Kinks are the very first punk band ever. I don't know.
You see a lot of them on that BBC retrospective, Top of the Pops, on VH1 Classic. They've been running it all week.
Oh, I gotta make a note for myself.
VH1 Classic.
VH1 Classic.
Top of the Pops. It's all over the place. It's like a 2-hour special. It's terrific.
Top of the Pops.
VH1. Classic for us old folks.
VH1. VH1 out of touch. I might as well just let this finish.
Father Christmas, give us some money. We got no time for your silly toys. Father Christmas, please hand it over. We'll beat you up, so don't make it some noise.
It's 503-733-2970, 503-733-2970. So Rick Emerson Radio Program. It is Friday following Thanksgiving. Thank you for coming by. In just a moment here, we will begin the AM 970 New News Hour. Let's see. Bob, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Hey, Oh Holy Night by Cartman, South Park.
Well, see, now that is, and I know the one you're talking about, but that's the one from the South Park. That's actually the same.
That's the one you're talking about?
It's different. That's the one, I know what you, I know the song of which you speak, though. The South Park, Oh Holy Night, is actually from the same episode that gave us Christmas Time in Hell, which we played at the top of the show. The weird thing about that Cartman, Oh Holy Night, and this is the weirdest conversation, that it is a thing that I am using, one of the greatest communications devices in the history of all humankind to discuss a construction paper third grader singing a Christmas carol. The one that you're talking about is actually the weird thing about that Cartman version of it is that it's done pretty straightforward. It's actually not terrible, like in the grand sense of things.
But it's wonderful.
It is wonderful because it's Cartman. So
yes.
I think that whole South Park CD.
That's what you're talking about. Thank you much.
No, God bless you, sir.
Merry Christmas.
Oh, Merry Christmas to you, Bob. One more. Aaron, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hello.
Hey.
I'm part of the Black Friday Madness.
Wait, in Portland?
No, actually, I was in Gresham, Best Buy.
Everything in Gresham is a little blacker.
I wasn't even part of it. I didn't go for the deal. I just wanted to buy a laptop that I've been looking at for the past week. I was like, okay.
Why would you pick today to do that?
Is that the $400 laptop?
I really didn't realize it was today.
And then be robbed on the walk back to the car.
Seriously. Thank you for coming to Gresham. Bam. So you weren't there because it's the biggest shopping day of the year as such. You needed to get a laptop and you just picked this day sort of arbitrarily?
No, I finally said, okay, I have enough money to go buy a laptop. I will buy a laptop today.
You chose poorly, my friend. What was it like? Was it just a sort of overrun with morons?
Just about. I saw probably the most white trash rich thing I have ever seen.
Okay.
That was a refrigerator with a TV in it.
Really?
That seems Gresham, though.
What's more American than that?
It really is. No, that is all things that make this fine republic of ours fantastic. They have
what a great idea.
Scotty is typing in the screen, ooh, must have one.
Yeah?
They have one that orders your groceries for you.
They have one at Fry's, actually. If you go to Fry's, now see, and the weird thing is that I am kind of a hypocrite about this, because stuff that I would find hideous and appalling, it's not like I'm some weird, you know, ad busters, left-wing, bleeding-heart, anti-corporate nitwit about it or whatever, but there is stuff that I find retarded when it's in Gresham, but if it's like at Fry's, I'm fine with it. Because at Fry's, I can just go, look at this great, cool, geek, you know, technology item. At Fry's, they've got one, a computer that goes on the internet, and Tim was just noting this. It'll actually track your grocery usage, and then it'll go online, and I think it was designed back in the sort of Webvan Cosmo.com days, because when your groceries got low, it would actually reorder food for you, which is great. So
I was able to get something. I didn't care. I just want to walk out of that store with something.
Yes.
So I finally got myself a LCD screen.
You are a good American, sir. I don't care what it is. I just need to consume. Need to buy.
The worst part was I had this lady, like a couple of people in front of me.
Uh-huh.
They had like a DVD. And then I was like, okay, they're going to be quick. I don't have to worry about it. It's not like I want to spend in line for 30 minutes wrapped around appliances. Then her husband walked in with about a cart full of stuff. I said, I hope an appliance falls from a ceiling and kill you.
Good God Almighty.
Didn't you in the spirit of the holiday season.
Seriously. God bless us, everyone.
I'm the one standing in line with two items going, I want to go home. I didn't mean to pick this day. I just wanted a laptop.
You are a good person, sir. Sort of.
Have a great day.
All right. Thank you, Aaron. Merry Christmas, George. You're going to prison. Ladies and gentlemen, here's Tim Riley at the Ministry of...
It's time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Well, the Russians have accomplished their first poisoning death of the holiday season.
And bless us, everyone.
Russian President Vladimir Putin is accused of murder in a letter by a former KGB spy who died of the poisoning. Through an interpreter, Putin says he grieves with the family of 41-year-old Alexander Levitinov.
Let me try that again.
The death of a man is always a tragedy. And I would extend my condolences to the family of Mr. Litvinenko. As far as I understand, in the medical statements of British physicians, it doesn't say that this was a result of a...
He says, in the statement taken off an old VHS tape. The weird thing, I don't understand why this is such a big story, and I'm not trying to be obtuse about it. Man, it's been like in a 50-point type on the Drudge Report for like a day and a half now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, didn't you just sort of assume that the Russian government killed people all the time?
But the funny thing about it is, I mean, they take things to extremes. It's like, you know, they'll put an atomic bomb under your bed and they won't care.
They really are.
They bring out the big guns when they want to get rid of somebody.
They don't just waterboard.
Like, it's not like a poison arrow to the neck. And hear somebody walking away in high heels in the middle of the night. This is radioactive isotope plutonium 210. This is serious stuff.
It's just jamming.
It could blow up half the planet if it's not used properly. They used it on one guy. They didn't want him around anymore.
And the best thing, and by best I mean horrible, is that you see him, and I mean, it's just, did you see the before and after?
Yeah.
The before and after is literally, it's like a three-hour time period. Like, he's all healthy and, like, you know, standing tanned on a beach with long flowing hair, and the next one he's all, like, in a bed, and he's bald, and he looks all hollowed out from the, it's a bad scene. That's a bad way to go. That is a little tiny window into my future, by the way.
He knew that he got poisoned because his hair started falling out?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I mean, it's like radiation. He was, I think, literally, like, 1 week he was fine, and the next week he looked like that kid from Powder. Yeah, it was bad.
You know, it was his own personal Hiroshima.
Happening inside of his body.
Yeah, seriously. Good times. The holiday season. You know, the other thing that I haven't lost this. I just haven't bothered to locate it is our Joy of Christmas music. I will start that on Monday, our Joy of Christmas segment. Fantastic. Well, that guy's dead.
There'll be more.
No, it's the holiday season. It's like the 8 days of poisonings. The holiday season has only just begun, so the Russians will probably kill other people. The next time we get, when we get Lisa Goddard on Monday, because, you know, she, that's kind of her forte, is the knowledge of Russian. You know, not only she speaks Russian, she lived in St. Petersburg for a couple of years, and she's very into Russian culture. So when we talk to her on Monday, I'm going to ask her, what did the guy, have embarrassing pictures or somebody or other? Like, what, or did he just, like, did he cut Putin off in traffic or something? And that's to him, you know, and it's, that's, I mean, I get the feeling that it really is just, I mean, you just, I mean, doesn't matter. You just cross somebody in just the tiniest way in that country, and they just, you know, you're going to be in a dacha having your limbs cut off.
It's one big New Jersey.
Fantastic. Unless you're that guy. Let's see here. For the love of God, really? We've talked about George and Wilsonville on this program before, and this is a thing you may not know, Kirsten. George and Wilsonville apparently has some, he has some magical psychic ability to just get on the show whenever he wants. It doesn't really matter. It's like really all the lines could be busy, and I could have actually turned off the phones. Like the phone company could have actually removed the line.
And all of a sudden he'll appear.
And he will be able to get through.
That may have been him banging on the floor a few minutes ago.
Seriously.
One big fiesta for illegal aliens and homosexuals.
Hi, George.
You've done so much for me in the past. I love you. You've carried me through many hard times in my life, difficult times. Well, I can now return the favor.
We're going to make out?
No. If you check your email inbox, there's two emails to you. The first one is just to a website with that most worst version of the Oh Holy Night. It's the exact one. But I then sent you an MP3 is the next entry. It's titled Oh Holy Night, Worst Version MP3. It's there for your enjoyment.
Worst Oh Holy Night MP3.
Yeah.
Right here. Okay, I'm looking at it right now.
That's
all right. Let's find out. I'm not going to play the whole thing right now, but let me just play a little bit and okay. See if it's the right version. I think this is it.
The least I can do.
Yeah, that's it. God bless you. Okay,
you're
thanks.
So welcome. Thank you. It's the least I can do. I owe you 1,000 more, just like it.
All right. Thank you, George. Thank Problem you. Solved. There you go. Thank you. You know what I've said before is the Rick Emerson Show really is like the power of distributing computing, this audience. Mm-hmm. You know, any problem you have, you throw it out to the audience, they will break it into little pieces, and they will solve the problem. There you go. Okay, fantastic. Well, thank you, George. We'll play that later on. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Meanwhile, back in the USA, the top story today, it's the busiest year for us plumbers. That's because Thanksgiving is a clog fest when it comes to drains.
The clog fest.
I think probably some of the grossest items would be the bones and meat. We've seen rice just completely clog a disposal.
Is this? Oh, a disposal.
This is clog expert Paul Abrams.
Clog expert.
He says flushing... But he'll show up on CNN.
That gets the ladies, too. You know, I'd really like to meet a man who's a clog expert.
He says flushing leftovers on the toilet, I guess people are doing that, will clog it up for weeks. It's just as much as pouring them down the disposal in the kitchen sink.
It doesn't matter whichever drain it's going down. There are just some items that just don't need to go down the drain.
Severed heads. Here's the thing about stuff in the drain. There are three places where you find the most horrific items. A, when your toilet is clogged, doesn't want to go down. B, when your garbage disposal gets filled with muck and goo and crap and detritus and flotsam and doesn't want to work anymore. And C, garbage juice. And you know what I'm talking about. Garbage juice at the bottom of the can or the bottom of the... There's that face again. You make the greatest face, Chris, and the greatest horrified, revolted face. And I'm not talking about like in the garbage can up front. I'm talking about that garbage can in the kitchen where you got the bag, but there's always some little seepage that happens there.
How about when it splits and then you get the juice everywhere?
Totally. And it's like... And why... Have you noticed this, too? The garbage juice... welcome to the lunch hour, by the way. The garbage juice always has a vaguely sweet and sugary smell to it.
I try not to smell it.
It's one of those things, but you smell... And see, I can smell it now. It's like napalm in Vietnam. Yeah, I can close my eyes and it doesn't matter. I can smell it forevermore. Anyway, clog expert.
Beware of the big orange squish.
Those pumpkin guts go down the drain and it's very stringy. It's almost like wet fiberglass pieces. When it goes down there, it's gooey and then dries and hardens and it's kind of like a resin or a fiberglass and it's tough to get through.
Oh, this guy's got to be a lot of fun at parties. Fantastic. Would you like me to talk about the...
I'm sure he's at the top of the list.
Oh, well, you know, and here's the other thing, and I don't know, this is, Kirsten, this is a thing that probably doesn't affect you, although, you know, your boyfriend might have this problem. And you would think at this point, and I'm just saying for me, it seems like, you know, there was this subject like about a year ago we were going to get to on the show and we never did. and it's still in the pile of stuff I'm going to get to one of these days, but it's a list of things that ought to have been invented by now. I'm thinking flying cars, for example. But here's the other thing that ought to have been invented. Is it so hard just to make a goddamn bathroom sink that can take hair, you know, like whiskers off your face without clogging? Seriously, men have been shaving for about 9 million years now. We've had sinks for, I don't know, 500, 600, 800, 900 years. We've had indoor plumbing for 150 years. Doesn't it seem like they ought to have invented a bathroom sink where you can shave every day, you wash the crap down the sink, and then, like, it just continues to work? You don't have to get, you don't have to go to the store and get a big thing of liquid plumber every 5 weeks? Just this morning, scraping away, you know, shaving my face, run the water. Sink backs up. You know what I mean? It's not like when they give you the sink, they can't anticipate that that's going to happen. The whole thing is just completely mystifying to me. And then you end up having to fish all of the assembled whiskers and crap out of the U-drain, and that's that's some vile muck you don't ever want to have your hands inside of. It's just, it's repellent.
Well, there are a few people who don't have to worry about that. The death toll in Baghdad's Sadr City has climbed to 202 today.
Merry Christmas.
And another 250 are wounded. What are they supposed to do with all these people?
At 300, they get a coffee cup.
Oh, that could be. Well, things got a little hairy at a Florida beauty supply store. The owner of the Aziz Discount Beauty Store.
The best part is I can hear the quote mark sometimes when you talk.
Saw three women try to leave the place with a dozen packages of human hair and some gold-plated earrings. The owner tried to stop them, but one of the suspects pulled out some pepper spray and opened fire. The owner, along with several customers, were all hit. Then the suspects jumped into a waiting vehicle and got away with the stolen human hair.
Where was this?
Florida.
I don't even Why? I mean, what is it? Is there a big black market for human hair somewhere?
There could be.
It is Florida, though.
It's probably a stocking stuffer.
And a voodoo doll. That's really, let's just be honest. It's Florida. That's what they're doing. They're using it for juju. That's totally what this is. They're making a bad mojo out of that hair right now.
Okay. A helium shortage has led to higher prices for balloons.
Higher prices.
Mm-hmm. Marie Mandely, otherwise known as the Balloon Lady, has been selling balloons for some 34 years in San Francisco. She tells the Chronicle her supplier cut her off for an entire week. She has to increase her prices by a third. The shortage is caused by a slowdown in production of helium. Besides keeping balloons in the air, helium is used for welding or cooling MRI machines. Helium is mined underground and is usually found in sites that contain natural gas. Most of the U.S. helium comes from around Amarillo, Texas, which bills itself as the helium capital of the world.
How proud they must be.
Why not bring the family?
I wonder if they have a parade. Let's see. Scotty is now saying the world is about to run out of helium. Okay.
It is a problem.
It is. Well, people think that helium gets made in the laboratory or something. You're right. It's mined out of rocks. People don't realize that. The whole thing is just weird. Bruce, hello.
Yes. I thought you were going to have a jingle or something.
Oh, well, you know, Scotty didn't let me know that it... Hold on a second.
He's getting lazy.
Scotty, seriously. I can bring that... You know, there is... never mind. Let me just...
KLTK!
All right, there you go. Bruce Agler, former Godlike Program Director. Hello, sir.
Good afternoon. I wanted to call and make a Christmas request.
I thought you were gone. I thought you were in Albuquerque or somewhere.
Oh, don't leave yet.
Okay.
Monday.
Okay.
Now that everybody knows to come and rob my house, so...
Okay, yes.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah, it's what I do.
Thank goodness I live in a gated community.
Okay.
I wanted to make a Christmas request.
Yes.
Yeah, the Snoop Dogg Christmas song.
Damn, that's another one. I don't think I brought that with me, actually.
You don't have that anymore?
Well, I don't have...
Well, that's the greatest Christmas song of all time. That beats... I mean, I love the Kinks thing, but, you know, that beats everything.
All right, let's not come unglued. I have it. I just didn't bring it with me today. Let's all get a hold of ourselves. It does exist. George and Wilsonville's probably looking for it right now that you've mentioned it. It is the Snoop Dogg, Snoop and Nate Dogg, which is pretty great, although I was telling Kristen this, actually. We were playing Christmas Time in Hell earlier, and thanks to the FCC and their forward-thinking approach to content, every year I find myself having to edit things more and more. I mean,
yeah,
stuff
the Snoop Dogg song definitely needs some pretty heavy bleeping.
I had to edit it 5 years ago when it first came out. I can't even imagine how much Scotty will have to edit out of it now. It's like that Behind the Christmas thing. I listen to that Behind the Christmas radio play that we do, and there's stuff that I have to take out of it now that, like...
Really? I don't remember there being it. That's amazing. I'll have to listen to it again myself.
There was one joke in there. The sad thing is I can't even really say it on the air to illustrate it, but there was a double entendre in the original version of Behind the Christmas that I now... It doesn't even work to bleep it. I just had to cut a line out, and it was one of the jokes I was the most proud of.
Really? You can allude to it?
Okay, here's what I said. We have this radio play that Clyde and I wrote and produced a couple years ago. Tim Riley's in it, and some folks that aren't with us anymore. We don't work with anymore anyway. A whole cast of people, and it's called Behind the Christmas, and it's a pseudo documentary about the rise and fall and redemption of Santa Claus. Blah 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 blah. There is this twist in the plot where the nadir of Santa Claus's professional and personal life comes when there is a hardcore sex tape released on the internet of he and Courtney Love engaged in sex in a cheap hotel room. And I say that the name of the sex film, you know that song, Santa Claus is Coming to Town?
Yes.
I reveal that the name of the tape is simply the first four words of that.
Oh, yes, yes. I remember.
Entitled Santa Claus. Mm-mm-mm.
Yeah, that might be problematic. You could probably leave it in and just bleep that part, and everybody could figure out.
But then it ruins the joke, so I just cut it out. Well, I couldn't stand to have the joke ruined.
Worked pretty good for the joke. We are airing that this year, I hope.
We air. Here's the thing about people have asked about Behind the Christmas. Really, no one has. I'm lying. You have asked about Behind the Christmas. Here's the thing.
I've asked about it before.
We are going to air that every year, just because I'm so proud of it. I do believe that that's the best thing Clyde and I have ever done. But I think enough time has passed that we're also going to have to come up with something new. So this year, I'm not sure what it is yet, but we're going to come up with something new this year in addition to Behind the Christmas.
Well, the amazing thing about that, might I tell the audience who hasn't been listening all this time, and actually most of them probably don't know anyway, you and Clyde came up with that like in 1 or 2 days.
Yeah, no, we wrote and produced the whole thing.
You're going to have to do something for Christmas. And you said, well, we'll do a radio play, and then I'd keep bugging you and bugging you, and about 2 days before Christmas, so we're going to do that radio play? Oh, I guess we'll just do it.
Yeah.
And you dragooned all those people into doing it. But man, a bravura performance there by Clyde, and especially Susanna, was that her name?
Susanna Bear from
Susanna.
She was at JJ at the time.
Oh man,
yeah.
She's just fantastic in that. She should be doing radio dramas.
She really was good. She played a drunken Mrs. Claus. And no, Clyde really knocked himself out
it was only supposed to be a one-shot deal, and you were going to do a new one every year.
Yeah.
But you always said, I could never top it again.
It's so good. It is, and that has more to do with Clyde. You're right. We wrote and, not to be all about the glory of us, but we wrote and produced and finished the whole thing in about 36 hours, and it's about 50 minutes long, and it really is fantastic. I will never do anything that's that good ever again. No, I'm fully aware of that.
But see, I've never actually been of that opinion, because you guys whipped that out so quickly and so fast. I'm sure you could do equally as good.
Yeah, maybe. So,
except
well,
extend yourself. But Snoop Dogg, please.
We're gonna have to find. Really, you are the weirdest person to be suggesting that we play a Snoop Dogg song, by the way. I'm just saying, it's just so strange. But now this year we will create a new radio, I don't know if it's a radio play, but we will have a new Christmas happening of some kind this year, in addition to Behind the Christmas.
Right.
And I'll see if I can track down the the Snoop Dogg Christmas song sometime today.
Thank you.
All right, God bless you. Thank you, sir. Bruce Agler.
K-O-T-K.
Godlike program director of the Rick Emerson Show.
Oh, plus I already gave you my Sinatra Christmas special from last.
You did. Now that's 26 minutes.
Yes.
All right.
Commercial free.
That Snoop Dogg song is great. It is really bizarre that Bruce is the one suggesting it, though. So, all right, there you go. God bless us, everyone. Here's Tim Riley.
What are we doing here? Let's talk about the signature overtones from people who can't stop shopping today. Dr. Michael McKee, a psychologist at the Cleveland Clinic, says this time of year is especially rough for people suffering from this type of addiction.
Is this
number five?
If you're up on the rooftop...
No. I'm sorry.
Oh, this is like, in some way, taking someone with an alcohol problem and putting them in the midst of a huge drunken party with everybody pushing alcohol.
Sounds like a fun-loving guy.
Buying is being pushed everywhere now.
Okay, thanks for that. Blowing the lid off that story. Thank you.
Let's talk about stringing up Christmas lights, shall we?
Can we?
Ain't going to be, yes.
Okay.
Well, now's the time to start taking the decorations out of the attic and begin untangling last year's decorative blanks. A spokeslady here named Carol Peters says people should take a few precautions to prevent injury resulting from electrical contact.
If you're up on the rooftop
click.
You're installing some lighting, make sure you're clear of electric lines. Also, keep your tools and ladders away.
This is for people who are now in line at the post office.
I was just going to say,
after you get home from holding up the line for an hour and a half.
And the best part is...
how to scotch tape a package closed.
The best part is that this advice will have no effect on the people who most need this advice.
While standing in a bucket of water.
Seriously. Oh, man. Yeah, it's this advice is going to roll right off like so much Teflon-coated whatever. Right off the backs of the people who most need it. They'll be dead anyway. Doesn't matter.
If we were in TV, we'd be taking this very seriously.
Of course.
And have a accompanying video.
No, and
it'll be live.
And we would, where you would actually simulate with like an expensive computer generated graphic, the ladder like going into the electrical line and then a wacky sort of, you know, what if your kite winds around a telephone pole, you know, and then you would have the
stick figure allowing you to pull the blood.
Yeah. The stick. Yeah. And then the stick figure child weeping over the dad's still body. Oh, fantastic.
Trying to buy holiday lights that are for exterior use if you want to put them outside.
They're sure that the cords are not worn out and the sockets aren't chipped so that there's no potential for electric arc, which could cause a fire.
Make sure they don't jam a butter knife right into that outlet to see what's clogging it up inside.
Please don't staple the wires.
That's a metal contact with electric source. There's potential there to rub through the covering on the wiring, so please use the proper light clips. They're plastic and they're non-conductors so that there won't be any kind of potential or for a fire hazard.
Oh man, my neighbors
coming up later on Larry King.
my neighbors staple their Christmas lights up every year, and it's like a full-on pneumatic staple gun. It's like boom, boom. You know, it's not like a swing line stapler. It's like the full-on, you plug it into the wall and it's got an air hose and you know, is it like right into there. I'm surprised they're not all dead. I tried to put up my Christmas lights last night, but it did.
I want to hear all about
no.
it. Take as much time as you need. We can push this mindset later.
I'm picking up on your sarcasm. Well, I'm making a note to myself, you weasels. I'll do it later. I'd like to drone on endlessly about coffee cups. Anton, hello, sir.
Rick, it's one of your P1s right here.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah. Hey, I'm glad you're live yesterday and today.
That's what we do.
Yes. I have two things. One, I would love to see a CD come out with all of the sounders from Scotty J that never make it to the air.
That would be a boxed set.
And it would be brilliant. Yeah. I mean, I would buy that.
You'd really need like a CD of the Month Club to get all of those because he just generates them constantly. He's, yeah.
I'd spend $5.99. I would.
Yeah.
And the second thing is, my fiancé... has never actually heard your Arizona sounder, and I would love for you to just to play it for her.
Is she listening?
Yes, she is.
Arizona, Arizona.
You are God.
It takes so little to make people happy.
Yes, it does.
Other radio shows have to have content and exciting guests and conversations that are gripping. I have to play 2.5 seconds of a song that's not even mine.
Arizona, Arizona.
There you go.
I'm the guy, by the way, who was at the Tom Likas listener party who had the KOTK Claudia shirt.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, the one that that you got by ordering the Tim Riley.
That's right.
Yeah.
All the meat. All the meat. I can't even name all the meat because there was too much.
Oh, we have to fill in this new person.
Tim Riley's
slogan.
How
that could possibly happen.
All the meat.
there was once a burger named after me.
A
meat.
Wow.
Do you know where Claudia's is? It's on Hawthorne and 30th.
Yeah, 30th and Hawthorne. I believe the hamburger had, let's see, burger and Canadian bacon and an egg plus bacon, regular bacon.
And pastrami.
Really?
Yeah, it was two beef patties, pastrami, bacon, an egg, two kinds of cheese, and...
Jell-O.
Four scrapings.
I could not eat the whole thing.
And it wasn't on the menu. That's the thing, is you had to go in and ask for it. You
had
to go in and say, I need the Tim Riley. And then they would give you this, and it weighed, I mean, it was like 4 pounds or something. And then but it came with
several people.
And then it came with a shirt.
You said that was such pride.
Yeah, no, it destroyed plumbing. And then they would give you a shirt that says, you know, the Rick Emerson Show, whatever. And I don't even have one of those.
I have one of those.
God bless you, sir.
I'm better than you are, man.
Arizona, Arizona.
Thank you. There you go. There's Anton, ladies and gentlemen. All right. We should probably break here because poor Bob Costantini is coming up at the bottom of the hour.
Well, we'll just have to tell Danny DeVito to wait.
Sorry, Mr. DeVito. Back into the green room. All right, we'll do this. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Bottom of the hour, Bob Costantini. Then we're rejoined by Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. Later on, Scott Daly from Film Fever Radio. Top five rock and roll screams. The worst version of O Holy Night you've ever heard. And I will drone on endlessly about Christmas lights and stringing them up. Stay there. Hello there. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Live from Portland, it's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. It is Friday after Thanksgiving. We are here. We are live, as is our wont. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. Coming up later on, we'll talk to CNN Radio correspondent Jim Roop. Scott Daly from FilmFeverRadio.com will be here. We will play the worst Christmas song ever recorded, and we'll have the top five rock and roll screams. Ladies and gentlemen, bar the door and prepare for the nucleus of white-hot energy. That is Bob Costantini on the Hill. Hello.
How could I be anything but with that introduction, actually?
Well, I'd like to prepare people for your... for the overwhelming overwhelming kinetic buzz.
Before we get serious, I want to ask, what does doing the Cool Whip look like?
I'm sorry?
What does doing the Cool Whip look like?
Oh, you're talking about that commercial that we just played?
Listening to, yeah.
Yeah, you know, the weird thing about Cool Whip is, and this, here's... Cool Whip is a really strange product, actually. I saw a guy making Cool Whip once. There was a, when I was a kid, there was some documentary program on HBO about like the foods and how they got made and what they looked like beforehand. If you have ever seen the ingredients that go into Cool Whip, it's just the weirdest, and like at no point does actual dairy come into it, which is what makes it such a space-age food. It's just the weirdest conglomeration of like... piles of black stuff, and it's like a big vat of oil, and then like pencil shavings and whatever, and then they put it into a thing and they blend it up and it comes out as Cool Whip, and it's fantastic.
Maybe we should stop there before you lose a sponsor.
No, it's a, I'm saying it's a great space age wonder product, and I mean that as a compliment. It's like a Tang or something.
Mm-hmm.
I have a real soft spot. My wife and I actually have this whole weird, I don't want to say it's ironic, but sort of a weird, sort of kitschy love for kind of 50s and 60s stuff like that. That is, because we went through this whole period in American culture, and I won't ask your age, but I, you know, you probably remember at least the end of this. We went through this whole period in American culture where, and we do this every now and again, it's sort of a yin-yang thing that we do. We'll go through periods where everything we want, you know, we want everything to be natural, we want everything to be additive-free, we want everything to be free of preservatives, we want everything to come to us right from Mother Nature. And then we go through other periods, like in the 50s and 60s, where the fact that something comes out of a can and has no natural products at all is its chief selling point. That's like the biggest, and the 50s were, I mean, look at all the products that came out of the 50s. Tang, which is an orange drink that has no actual oranges in it. Cool Whip, which is a whipped cream the product that has no actual cream that's been whipped inside of it.
Forget Tab.
Tab? Tab is making a comeback, though. Have you seen that Tab is back on the shelves?
Tab stands for Totally Artificial Beverage.
Totally. And by the way, in case anybody should ask you this, this is a little fun fact that you can pass along, Bob Costantini, to look as though you were down with pop culture and have your finger on the pulse. Tab is Bill Gates' favorite drink.
Oh, okay.
So there you go. So if anybody should ask you, Bob Costantini, what can you tell us about Tab? You can tell them that it is Bill Gates' favorite beverage. Also, like Bosco, I have a question for you. What is Bosco? Do you even know what that is? It's a thing you always hear about. It's like a coffee-type product, isn't it?
A long time ago that last time I tried Bosco was probably in the 60s.
Now, is Bosco coffee?
I thought Bosco was a chocolatey flavored drink, a malted kind of drink. I just don't remember.
I don't really know either.
Anywhere anymore, any.
No, it's just one of those things. One of those things I hear referenced, and I never know what it is. What else? There was like Sanka. Sanka was the same thing. Sanka, where it was like sort of like coffee, but not really. You know, it's like half coffee, half, you know, like chicory or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and we've reached the end of this conversational rope. Let's move on. Hey, did we ever figure out where Dick Cheney is?
Dick Cheney is...
You said he was with his house, but then they were saying he was going to Saudi Arabia or Iraq or someplace?
He is supposedly going to Saudi Arabia this afternoon. They've not released a lot of details, and perhaps not surprising, I don't know, there are no press people apparently going with him on this trip to Saudi Arabia. Any media that will cover it will already be there. So he is not, or at least to the best of my knowledge, he's not taking a press charter or a group of people on board his plane with him, as he has done on a rare occasion, actually. But he is supposedly going to Saudi Arabia pretty much as we speak.
I can't imagine that's a real fun party plane to be on anyway. Hey, let's load up and go to Saudi Arabia with Dick Cheney. Ooh, you know, I can't imagine. It's like everybody's clamoring to do that.
Well, it's supposedly supposed to be an important mission ahead of the president's trip next week.
I suppose.
And so that's why there probably would be a lot of press interest. But I've been informed by some of the people here that he is not taking a press plane with him. That could be wrong. It could be all very secretive.
I think at some point the Bush administration is just going to skip to the bottom of the page and they're just going to start issuing a bounty on the heads of the press. That really does seem to be the logical conclusion of their rather antagonistic relationship with the media corps.
Mm-hmm.
I have a question, and I don't ask this. I'm not trying to be deliberately obtuse. I really, there's just things I don't understand. And one of them is, I mean, why is it really just oil? Is that the only reason we have to go over and be nice to Saudi Arabia? I mean, really, in the grand scheme of things, why do we care if Saudi Arabia hates us or not? I mean, why do we have to go over and be, I mean, and play nice with a country that, you know, that produced, I don't know, the vast share of the 9/11 hijackers, and, you know, and where the national sport seems to be beheading gays in the town square? Like, why are we over there talking to them?
Well, it is, of course, in a sense, oil-based, but the majority population in Saudi Arabia is Sunni. And the Sunnis used to run Iraq under Saddam Hussein and his Ba'ath Party. Well, the Sunnis are now, in a way, the minority party, but they are, in a large part, fueling much of the sectarian violence that's going on there. And it's presumed that Sunnis were behind the bombings yesterday in Baghdad that killed as many as or more than 200 people in the area known as Sadr City, which is a Shiite area in Baghdad. So the vice president is going over there because it is believed that Saudi Arabia may have some influence over the Sunni extremists in Iraq. And, of course, we've heard these stories, and a lot of talk show hosts have gone on about it significantly, about the schools that are run in Saudi Arabia that produce extremists.
Are these the madrasas or whatever?
They're called, yes. That's one of the reasons why the vice president is making this trip in an effort to bring about regional settlements, or not settlement, but some regional efforts regarding stability in Iraq. And one way to perhaps get at the Sunni extremists is to go through Saudi Arabia.
Is it true that the George W. Bush spent most of his Thanksgiving bicycling?
That is what we were told. Camp David up there, he pretty much remains secluded. But we are told that, yeah, Thanksgiving Day, he did a lot of bicycling because there are some trails in the mountains up there.
You'd think that at this point they would, every time that they put him on a bicycle or give him a pretzel or something, that it's just, that they're really tempting fate in some sort of a hideous press release. Didn't he bicycle into a tree the last time he was doing this?
He has had a few accidents on occasion.
All right, this is, I hate to interrupt, somebody just passed me this from CNN, this is from Baghdad, from CNN.com. Enraged Shiites burned people to death, torched mosques, and denounced Sunni leaders and the United States. A day after a bloody assault on Sadr City, the Iraq capital's Shiite bastion, the coordinated strike, which killed more than 200 and wounded more than 250. And so this is the thing you were just referencing earlier, and I mean, it just seems like, and again, it's not like I really know a whole lot about foreign policy, but it does seem like we're just so vastly unpopular, and every poll seems to indicate that Dick Cheney is even more unpopular than George W. Bush. It doesn't really seem like him being in that area, having a presence there in any way, is going to make this better. Do you know what I mean? It seems like if Dick Cheney and George W. Bush, here's what they could do, it seems like, to get everything smoothed out. If they just said, look, if you promise not to, like, burn stuff and blow things up, we'll promise never to come back. Like, that's it, man. They just say, look, that instead of saying we're going to keep coming back until you play nice, if they just said, look, if you calm things down, we promise to get on a plane and go back to the U.S. and never come back here again, that might be a little more effective.
Well, it's certainly one idea for diplomacy, if you will, but it isn't likely to happen. The president has made it clear, of course, that he wants to make sure that the U.S. gets out of Iraq when Iraq is stable. That's going to be very difficult, truthfully, especially in light of what happened yesterday and the reprisals going on today. Now we've got the United States. There are reports that the United States is firing on some of the extremist elements in Sadr City, which is the area controlled by Shiites, where the bombings occurred yesterday. They are, you know, some of the American helicopters supposedly are being fired on by Shiite extremists in Sadr City, and the United States is firing back at them. There have been these reprisals over in the Sunni areas today that we've heard about, as you mentioned. This whole situation is just spiraling considerably out of control. There's no other way to put it. I don't think you have to be a totally objective journalist to say that. You can be a totally objective journalist and say that. It's one of these things that the administration is going to have a lot of difficulty getting a handle on, and the president is going to try to do some of that next week when he has this meeting in Jordan with the Iraqi Prime Minister al-Maliki. The meeting was put there because of security concerns. Oh, yeah. Otherwise, had they met in Iraq, it could have been a big security nightmare, really.
And really, this is no present to be leaving for the next Congress or whoever the next president. Anyway, this is sort of like trashing your apartment right before somebody else has to move in. You know what I mean? And there's some new guys moving into the townhouse tomorrow. Let's set fire to the carpet and fill it with ants. You know what I mean? And that's
the president's still going to have to deal with this, though.
Yeah.
At least year.
All right, so, oh, by the way, just it has been clarified for us by a few people in the audience. Bosco is, in fact, a chocolate syrup, not unlike Hershey's chocolate syrup, although it predates this. Bosco dates from 1929, apparently, Bob Costantini.
Thank you.
So never say that the Rick Emerson Show doesn't give. There you go. We have added to your sum total of knowledge today.
We go from the very serious to the very interesting.
You know, we try to present the whole panoply, the whole range and pageant of human experience here. As a side note, before we finish here, were you aware that Ed McCarthy is referred to by forces inside CNN as Special Ed, and that Jim Roop is referred to as El Rupe?
No.
Okay, well, there you go. See, so I've added the sum total of your knowledge, the tote board of your knowledge has gone up again.
That's great. I do remember Bosco, though. I'm 50 years old. You asked about my age.
To the best of your knowledge, do you have any nickname within CNN?
Yeah.
Would you like to tell me what it is?
Sure, it's Noodles.
I'm sorry?
It's Noodles. It's just a...
Why?
I mentioned one day that I made some homemade pasta, and I got the nickname Noodles.
Writing this down. Okay, it is now committed to memory within the Emerson brain. Fantastic. All right there, Noodles. God bless you. Hey, enjoy your weekend, my friend. It is always a pleasure to have you, and thank you for tolerating my juvenile foolishness.
My pleasure. Thank you. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you soon. Bob Noodles Costantini, ladies and gentlemen, right there, CNN radio correspondent on the Hill. Fantastic. There you go. All right.
Being poisoned by Vladimir Putin would be like a day in the country to most Iraqis.
Seriously, I mean, I hate to sound so grim about it, but really, I don't understand the idea that somehow we're going to make everybody happy by sending Dick Cheney over there to spend a lot of time. It really, that's like trying to like ease your matrimonial strife by your mother-in-law coming and living in the middle of your den. You know what I mean? That doesn't make any sense at all.
I have one for you.
All right,
did you ever try Moxie?
Moxie.
Here
no.
you go.
Is it a beverage?
It is. It's the worst tasting thing. I think it's only available back east, but it'll make you sick. I mean, it's something that your grandmother drank, and she tried to make you drink it also.
With the great taste of castor oil. Moxie, a carbonated beverage, is believed to the U.S. Oh, this is how you know it's bad. Mm-hmm. The USA's first mass-produced soft drink. Here's other indications that it's bad. Created in 1876. Mm-hmm. Do you ever see the 1876 just... Where the worse something tasted, the worse it was, that the more horrible it was, the better they thought it was going to be for you. Mm-hmm. Also this, why were people in like 1880 and 1910 and 1925 so goddamn grim about everything? Did you ever see a photograph from 1910 where anybody's smiling? No, everybody's all stone-faced.
Well, you're scrubbing your clothes on a washboard beside a lake or something. Where women had to wear these barrel skirts that they could barely get through a door to dust.
There's a picture of that my mom has hanging up on the wall of my grandmother when my grandmother was 11 years old. So that would have been, God, 1909 or something, or 1910 or whatever. Some incredibly old photograph, almost 100 years old now. But it's like my grandmother and all of her family, and it's like 30 people there, and I swear to God, it's like they all got told that they had like a huge tumors in their heads. They've all just got the most unpleasant, angry looks on their faces.
Same about my family, except there's always one person playing an accordion.
Really?
100... 100 glum people sitting around and somebody playing an accordion.
A guy named Zeppo in the back on 1 foot doing a jig. Moxie was said to cure ailments ranging from... Oh, this is great, this beverage.
Yeah.
Moxie was said to cure ailments, this is a beverage, ranging from... softening of the brain... I don't really know that I want to drink a soda that makes my brain hard. we'll make your brain rock hard and immobile. Fantastic. Where can I buy some? Sign me up. Cured ailments ranging from softening of the brain. How would you even diagnose that? I mean, really,
well,
you have
a
skull.
Would probably shake your head if there was a splashing sound.
Just jam.
Then he prescribes some Moxie.
Jamming a pencil into your ear. Well, here's the problem. It's all squishy inside. Ranging from softening of the brain to loss of manhood. In 1884, it was sold in carbonated form and merchandised as an invigorating drink, which claimed to endow the drinker with spunk. In the early phase of its life as a recreational soft drink, Moxie is said to have been kept handy by bartenders to give to customers who were too drunk to be given any more alcohol.
It would wake you right up, just the aftertaste alone.
The story may be apocryphal, however, inspired by Moxie's infamous aftertaste that many people, among them Tim Riley, find unpleasantly strong. Jesus. Oh, and this is where the phrase "someone has a lot of moxie" came from. It came from this drink, meaning the person was skillful or spirited. Moxie became unique, and then it was the name of a commercially produced soft drink, also included in dictionaries. What does it taste like?
It tastes like fish oil and paint.
I have to have some. I have to.
And they still make it.
Right here, picture of a modern Moxie can. Moxie mainly found in New England, but is also found all over the United States in specialty stores.
Mm-hmm.
All right, there you go.
It's available through mail order.
You'll be happy to know, by the way, that sugar-free diet Moxie is also available. And apparently it's used in several drinks, including a Welfare Mom, which is equal parts Diet Moxie and Allen's coffee-flavored brandy. And a Country Girl, a drink made up of one part bourbon whiskey, two parts Moxie, and optional lime garnish.
Lime garnish.
Noted for its bitter taste. I have never understood why people drink things that have a foul taste to them.
Yep.
Or people
and
eat
then,
things
and
that aren't...
try to force their grandchildren to drink it.
You'll learn to like it. Anything you have to learn to like is something you should... Life is short. Move on to something you enjoy.
And enough people dislike it that they still make it.
Why did something... All things that old always had to cure something, though. I don't understand that.
Well, they were all patent medicines, which meant that they contained opium at one point, probably. So that's where... But Moxie probably... I'm just speculating now as a journalist. I'm not saying this is the case. It seems like it was probably just full of heroin at one point. And that's why... Well, no, seriously. I mean, you look at all the... There's a great documentary called Hooked, which is all about illegal drugs and how they became illegal. And there's this great before and after where they show in a Sears Roebuck catalog a list of patent medicines. And it was like Dr. You know, Johnson's Fix-It-All or whatever. And it was just crap you'd drink for, like, eye ailments. And there was another thing if you had gout and if you limped and if your brain was soft, if your liver was falling out or your belly button was leaking, whatever. You would just drink all of these things. And then they show the before and after. So there's the big page in Sears Roebuck where it lists all the patent medicines. And then there's, like, about a year later when the government started making them label it. And it's like ingredients. Everyone, heroin, 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 heroin. Like everything you drink. Kids,
maybe that's the spunk.
Kids, spunk. Or as the kids call it, heroin. It was like your baby's crying, give him some patent medicine. Well, if you were full of opium every day, you'd be happy too. So.
And it wasn't until 1909 that the government stepped in to put it into. I think it was the Pure Food and Drug Act,
yes.
I believe, of 1909.
Yep.
And they had to put it on every container that had passed that. But before that, you could claim anything.
And almost everything went off the market then because it was revealed that the ingredient in everything was either opium or heroin, which are really the same thing. It's fantastic. If you ever get a chance to watch this documentary, it's a five-part series called Hooked on the Discovery Channel. And it really is fascinating. I mean, it's amazing that this entire country didn't just lapse into chaos like China. You know what I mean? You know, because everybody in this country, I mean, it's like with the opium dens and so forth, it just led to, like, the, you know, canals collapsing because nobody wanted to get out of bed and go to work. It's amazing that this country didn't just completely teeter off the rails into bankruptcy and chaos because everybody's at home drinking bottles of heroin every day.
I watched a terrific documentary on plagues yesterday. And did you know that 300...
Happy Thanksgiving to you, too.
I don't want to be bothered. I want to watch...
Stay away. I'm watching a thing on the plague.
Well, I had no idea that 370,000 people died during a plague here in 1918.
In America?
Yeah. And like 50,000 worldwide.
Was it the flu? Was that
It was the 1918 flu plague.
The only reason I remember that is because I think somebody brought it up.
Because there was nothing else on C-SPAN.
What were we all going to die of a couple years ago?
Bird flu.
I think they might have mentioned the 18... Not since the flu of 1918 has this been brought... I didn't know it was that many people, though.
Well, they actually... I read an article a while back where the bird flu is actually the same virus that went around then.
Really?
But it's not transferable from human to human.
Yeah.
According to this documentary.
That's the, that's the Ebola thing. You know, like Ebola is animal to animal, and it's not airborne or something. Like, you have to, like, take an infected bird and, like, pour its blood into your eyeballs or something to get it, or whatever it is now. But it's like that 1918 flu plagues. Got to write down, I got to TiVo that as well.
So that's how I spent my face.
That you watched a thing on plagues. I just sat on the sofa and watched it. God, what the hell did I watch last night? It was like the furthest thing from it was Cool Hand Luke followed by a Shield marathon on FX.
Oh, that sounds good.
Yeah, so that's
had
how
I not been so busy, I would have watched.
It was Cool Hand Luke and a big can of Cheese Whiz. That was how I spent my Thanksgiving.
I had horrifying stories about cat hair from family members.
Good time. I try to avoid spending any time at all with my family members.
Yeah,
always left alone on holidays. All I care about is doing a radio show and going home and eating out of Tupperware.
When they want to make yarn out of cat hair, there's a problem.
Yeah. Really? No. So Tim and I did the same thing. Tim and I each went home. People somehow have this image, though, because we spend, you know, we're on the show together and whatever. That I think sometimes people think that when the show is over, Tim and I get on a tandem bike together and, like, ride off to a place and, like, you know, live in a room where there's bunk beds or something. But even though we live in completely separate areas of Portland,
we're really far away. during the period of darkness, we never saw each other because we were both too lazy to meet each other.
Seriously,
we wouldn't leave our homes.
But we really are like polar twins in that we really do engage in very similar behavior. We both get off the air, go directly to our cars, speak to no one, drive home, go inside, bolt the door, turn off the lights, and sit on the sofa watching television for hours on end, eating bad food out of Tupperware containers we've dug out of the back of the refrigerator.
After we've been left alone by our own request.
Seriously. It's like when
everyone have a good time. Please don't include me in your plans. I'm very happy being where I am.
Please do not call or write.
We are on day two.
Oh, it's glorious.
It is. I have a couple more containers to heat up when I get home.
Oh, that's it, man. I've laid in the supply of $3.99 pizzas from Safeway, and I've got the whole Lord of the Rings queued up at home, man. That's it.
You're set.
Welcome to my world. Don't call me. Don't talk to me. Don't try to get me to do anything.
Don't cry for me, Argentina.
My wife is in Utah. She can't make me go anywhere. Here I am. Okay.
As long as you're happy.
Gonna be happy.
I am. That's what people don't understand. It's like Kristen from accounting and Clyde were here. So they're like, we're going to Morgan Grace's. And Morgan Grace is a local musician, a friend of theirs. They're like, we're going to her house for Thanksgiving. Would you like to come along? No, I would not. Thank you very much. Appreciate the offer. Not going to take you up on it. And then and they know better at this point than to push me on it because it's like, no, it's not going to happen.
You have TiVo and Totino's.
That's all I need. And a lock on my goddamn door. That's it. All right. I'm a people person.
Yeah, thank you, Scotty.
Deal with the goddamn customers. Rich, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick, you can get Mossy at New Seasons in Raleigh Hills, part of Portland, and it's awesome.
I have a New Season next to me. I'm going to have to go look today, then.
Really?
I'll bring it in tomorrow.
Okay, yeah,
I can't. Tomorrow's Saturday, isn't it?
Bring in some Moxie I'll bring it on Monday, and we'll drink it here.
We'll make
Scotty drink it.
That'll be great.
And then, judging by the look on his face, we'll decide whether to try some.
We're all going to vomit.
That'll be the new slogan for the Rick Emerson Show. The Rick Emerson Show. We're all going to vomit. Let's do... I'm sorry, that's me. Let's do... What is this you that gave me this...
Yes.
This deluxe bacon wallet?
It's one of the other projects I did yesterday. Sending through newspapers looking for things to talk about.
I realized that this...
After the documentary and...
Welcome to our thrilling lives.
Does it have a picture of the wallet?
What's in this newspaper that I could make glib observations about between the hours of 11 and 3 tomorrow? I realize that this sentence makes no sense. I have to clarify what I meant by deluxe bacon wallet, because that does sound like a sexual euphemism of some kind. This is from some newspaper that looks like the Willamette, judging from the... Hello?
Was there somebody there?
Hello there. Okay, well, and he's gone. This is from the Willamette, I think. You're showing wacky gift items. Apparently, at Music Millennium, you can buy a wallet that is made to look like it's made out of bacon. It's a wallet. There's really no way to describe this. It's a wallet that looks like it's made out of bacon. And there you go, and we're done. Fantastic. Let's do one more, and then we'll break. Good God.
Let's talk to Danny DeVito, shall we? This is number 4.
Oh, I can't wait.
Let's see here. Danny DeVito and Matthew Broderick headline the new holiday comedy Deck the Halls, now in theaters. Let's see here. Danny DeVito says the film has a broad appeal.
It's one of my first PG movies besides...
It's Jim Cramer. It's Jim Cramer from Jim Cramer's Real Money. Boy.
It's one of my first PG movies besides Hercules and maybe My Little Pony. I don't know. I did years ago.
What?
But I'm hoping that people of all ages go out to see it and, you know, and have a great time. It's funny and... You know, warm. And
seriously, if you dose Kramer with sleeping pills, this is exactly what he'd sound like. I don't understand this movie. It's
okay.
It's about a pony?
I guess so. But it gets a little seamier for the ladies. I wanted to add a little sizzle. We have a clip here. And in this scene, Steve awakens after passing out only to find himself and Danny naked inside a sleeping bag.
Oh, God. We're in the back seat of your wife's car on the way to the hospital. You warming up?
Yeah. Where are my clothes?
You were freezing to death. We had to get you out of them.
Where are your clothes?
I had to get your body temperature up, so I stripped us both down and zipped us into this sleeping bag.
Good God.
Trust me, it works. I've done it a half a dozen times.
A compelling scene.
Who is the target demographic for this movie?
The ladies.
Okay.
Who lies
about
Danny
DeVito nude? Dear advertiser, if only you had a movie featuring Danny DeVito's luscious body rolling around on top of Matthew Broderick and grinding. I was covered in sweat. I would be happy to see such a film. There you go. Yeah, let's all agree right now to never see that. All right. It's 503-70. You will be happy to know, by the way, that... Candyland and Cootie are half off at Thanksgiving, or at the Thanksgiving sale at Kmart.
I can see people being trampled for those as we speak.
Sir, I feel so bad for board games. Board games, boy, you talk about a thing that is just from like 35 years ago. I think a board game is a thing that you're going to buy for your kid that your kid is not going to be interested in at all. I can tell you this right now.
I still play Clue.
I love board games.
But we're old. That's the thing. You less so than us, but we're old. Of course we find it interesting. You buy it for your kid, your kid's just going to look at you like you're high. So,
you know what I used to love? Because we had these huge blizzards when you couldn't go outside for days and days back east. Monopoly, the long game. It would last all winter long.
Oh, yeah, that's the thing is, and if you had people who were good at Monopoly, you're right, that game would stretch on into infinity.
Yep.
It actually got to the point where, you would have Monopoly, and how many, boy, I can't even tell you how many full-on, like, full-scale violent brawls with my brothers started over Monopoly.
Mm-hmm.
Because somebody would always accuse somebody of hoarding money. Somebody would always accuse somebody of, like, there was, I don't even really know in retrospect how you could cheat at Monopoly, but I think we were always accusing each other of cheating. And then, like, somebody would land on, Vermont when they really wanted to land in Park. And the next thing you know, it was like Three Stooges with, like, fingers to the eye.
Well, you're either very good at it or very bad at it.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're a loser at Monopoly, you're a loser.
I would be
and you're stuck. People continue to make you look stupid for another hour and a half.
Well, you're just holding onto your one Oriental Avenue property.
The rent is like $60. And everywhere I move, I have to pay $5 million. I thought about stealing money if anybody saw me, my hand next to the money.
You just pray to hit go.
All I have left is Baltic with a $60 rent. How badly can I feel?
Well, then you also have a banker.
Does anyone play again? Sure, I lose every time. I end up with the same property. I might get one hotel, but I'll lose it on the next spin.
Oh, good times.
Anybody for some moxie?
Oh, all right. Let's take a break. We'll come back. Oh, good God almighty. Jim Wright, ladies and gentlemen. He'll be back at the thing.
What's next?
I don't know. We've talked about the bacon wallet. Really, where else is there to go after that? Coming up here in a while, Jim Roop from CNN. More from the Ministry of Truth. Scott Daly from FilmFeverRadio.com and the worst Christmas song ever recorded. Here's the Dry County Crooks. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show.